views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Great to be here.
I'm looking so forward to our conversation. Today, we're going to talk about humanity. We're continuing that theme. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks. This is our third week. We're going to do this for the month of February, and today, we're going to talk about the challenge of spiritual development. So we've been talking a bit about science and talking about who are we and what are we and these underlying principles of our reality that, Dorothy, I've been thinking about them so much over the last few weeks. They're such really wonderful concepts that we can apply to our day-to-day. So now we're going to take a look at ways in which those concepts are applied spiritually or ways that we can apply them to our spiritual development. So I look so forward to this.
Yes, Steve. And for those of our listeners that are not aware, I have written a book called Principles of Abundance for the Cosmic Citizen that outlines the seven principles that we'll keep referring back to and the science that supports them. But Steve, I'd like to kick us off with a quote from Pierre de Chardin that I think is really relevant to our discussion today. He writes, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience."
Oh, I love that quote. I've heard that quote before. It creates a shift inside of you, huh?
It certainly does. It certainly does. If we think of ourselves from the perspective of being souls who are incarnated in this earth, we bring with us the knowledge from any continuity of consciousness that we've experienced. We'll come back to that a little bit later, I think. Then it's not that we have to try to figure out about spirituality. It's that we have to figure out about being human.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, when we have a spiritual experience, we remember it. It's like it marks us. And sometimes for the rest of our lives, it's something we go back and we sort of bank on. So can you imagine if we really embrace that we're spiritual beings and it's the human experience that is unique and that marks us as spiritual beings? So that's pretty cool. It's like, what if our time here on earth as a human being is the paramount? And if that informs our spiritual rather than the spiritual informing our human, then that's pretty big. We've got to get it right, is what you're saying.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really interesting. And I want to share an image that's always been helpful to me in thinking about myself as part of what I think of as the one life, that gigantic cosmic energy field that quantum physics tells us is our actual context and reality that we are all part of and therefore all interconnected through. So what I think of, Steve, is I think of myself or any individual as being like a piece in the puzzle. So we are unique. You know, each piece is different from every other piece, but we don't actually make sense on our own. We make sense in context, in the connections that we form, in the ways in which we participate in that whole, that energetic whole that we are part of.
That's beautiful. And what I find really interesting about these seven principles that we talked about is, in a way, if you get to know them well and you get to sort of learn how to maneuver with them, I'm doing a little dance in my chair, and it helps you sort of spin that puzzle and get that piece of puzzle in the right place. You know, they're almost instructional in a way, especially the last three. You know, when we think about, for the listeners who might not have heard our first two shows, by all means, go back and listen to them in the archives, because I have a sense that these seven principles we are going to discuss at length, probably almost in every show, some idea about us being part of the greater and how do we fit in. I love the puzzle. Like, how do we fit in our little space that's designed just for us? When you think about adaptability and cooperation and interdependence, that's a puzzle right there. I mean, that's really a part of building that puzzle, huh?
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so for our listeners, we have the underlying description of our reality are the other four principles, that we are, in fact, all interconnected. We are actually all energetic beings. We are waves that have expressed in a physical form. And then participation, which is that we literally create our own reality by what we observe, how we think about what is going on. And if you think about, you know, any interaction that you have with another person, you can use a number of different filters to interpret that experience differently. So that's the participation. And then our experience is nonlinear. We use time to explain to ourselves what's going on, but the illusion of linearity then results in our thinking that our world is entirely determined by some kind of cause and effect, something that happened in the past that now influences the present, instead of recognizing that we can actually literally change the past. And there's some interesting quantum physics experiments on that. And then finally, that our reality is not dualistic. And that, I think, Steve, is a theme that's going to come up several times in our discussions today, because oftentimes people get caught in this idea, just one example, get caught in this idea that there's the spiritual part of our lives and then there's the material part of our lives, and create this dichotomy, this duality between them. And they forget about the connectedness, the interaction, and it's that connectedness that is actually our growth edge. That's what's so critical in how we learn and move forward.
Mm. Beautiful. I love that you just summed those up. And the non-linearity one, I know we're going to get to non-duality today, and we're going to cover that really well. I hope one day we'll really talk about non-linearity, that we'll have to spend a whole show on that. It's one of those head scratchers. It makes perfect sense. And I love that science is really taking this on. And it sort of brings us to the relationship of science and spirituality. As you were talking about interconnectivity, participation, non-linearity, non-duality, science has really shown us that these are facts, and that's what we were talking about quite a bit on the first two shows, that we've proven this. We've proven this more or less, that these principles underlie our reality. But if that quote's correct, that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, then you can see that these correlations between the science and the spiritual would have to be endless, because science is always telling us how. You know, but it's rarely telling us why. Well, if that quote tells us the why, that we're spiritual beings and this human experience is sort of intrinsic to the process of the spiritual world, then these scientific discoveries on some level have to be a bit of a reflection of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we can think of the soul. Some of our listeners, you know, may not come from a tradition where the soul is a term that they use, but we can think of it as the description of the relationship, the interaction between the whole and the particular. So us as individuals and this huge cosmic energy field that we know we're part of. We don't have to call it the one life or put any divine or divinity related term on it, but that is a scientific reality that we're part of all of that. So how do we connect to it? Well, it's that connection that we can think of when we think of the term soul.
Indeed. Soul. It makes me think of that is actually the sort of picture on the puzzle, not just the puzzle piece, but it's what colors, it's what creates the whole image itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. So you can think of that as, you know, when we say that the soul chooses our life purpose, it's that inner connection that informs what it is that we're about in this life. What is it that we're to be learning? What is it that we're to be contributing? And for each of us, it's slightly different. And to me, this is one of the really important things about how we relate with other people. And there's a lot of tension in our world. But we actually don't know what the other person's life purpose is. We don't know exactly the path that they're walking. The only thing that we can say for certainty is that it's not precisely what ours is, because each of us have a unique contribution to make.
Right. And if we can endeavor to get to know them as a soul, we realize that we are all simply various parts. We may not be the same, but we actually fit in this great schemata. And that's when we actually, beyond our differences, can find that which connects us. There's a quote by Eckhart Tolle that I just love about the soul. Whenever we're talking about, well, what is the soul? He says, the soul is your innermost being, the presence that you are beyond form. The consciousness that you are beyond form, that is the soul. That's who you are in essence. So it still goes back to that, that we are a part of this greater one life, that in essence, we are the presence beyond form. And I think that that's just a beautiful quote about the soul. So Dorothy, we're at our first break. When we come back, I'd love to talk a little bit more about the soul. Perhaps we'll talk about the soul versus the personality, because there's a lot of distinctions that can help people sort of tease out what is this thing called the soul and how are we that. So we'll be right back after this break.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer. I'm here with a very beautiful soul, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Dorothy, hi.
Hi, Steve. Steve, I think we should share with our listeners who may not already have heard it that these radio programs are a collaboration between our two organizations. I am the chair of the board of directors of the School for Esoteric Studies, which provides esoteric discipleship training. And I am also, I've been with the school for now well over 40 years.
Beautiful. I'm quite passionate about esotericism. It's what brought us together, and it's actually what brought me to Spirit Fire. So the other half of this collaboration is Spirit Fire, and we're a nonprofit educational organization, just like School for Esoteric Studies. We teach meditation and consciousness-based programs. And esotericism, I'd love if we could just spend 1 minute. I'd love to hear you describe it, but Dorothy, what's interesting about everything we're talking about in terms of science and spirituality, I find it interesting that science has moved beyond materialism to talk about the world of the unseen. And isn't that esotericism? It is that which we can't see, or that which is veiled, which we are trying to unveil, and sort of our innermost. So it's interesting. This is a very interesting time to be talking about esotericism in terms of spirituality and science, because science has come such a long way in discovering the unseen and in us seeing that our subtle systems and actually subtle energy is very much a part of our lives, and it's who we are. It makes us up, huh?
That's right. And it's interesting, you know, people may have a bit of a reaction to the term esoteric, but that is, in fact, what it is. It is the subjective side of experience. And I have friends who refer to that as, you know, the metaphysical part as, oh, that's all woo-woo, Dorothy. You know, it's, you know, not real. And yet, if you look at the findings from quantum physics, it, over and over and over again, everything that has been written about in metaphysics is actually being proven to be true. Our world is energy. We are energy. And our energy does follow thought. How we think does create our reality. All of those things that people have said is are non-scientific are actually being proved by science, which I find just fascinating.
And it will go on. You know, this, we will continue to prove more and more and more of that which actually the ageless wisdom has presented very clearly. And I'd love to just ask you how you found the ageless wisdom. And I don't want to get too far off the subject, but what I find so interesting about ageless wisdom and about esotericism is that it is actually quite scientific. And people that say, oh, that's so loosey-goosey or that's woo-woo, When you really get into much that the School for Esoteric Studies presents and quite a bit that Spiritfire presents, really it's quite scientific. It's quite structured. Me being a Virgo, I love everything being in its right place. And I was so attracted to the Ageless Wisdom because it really was this systematic way of talking about the soul, its relationship to the personality, talking about the human purpose. What is the purpose and what is the plan of humanity? How do we sort of, how can we very systematically move our consciousness forward and our evolution forward? And it's very scientific, don't you find?
Yes, and I think it's important to share with our listeners that the one of the things that is different about Ageless Wisdom study, or I think as both your organization and both Spiritfire and School for Esoteric Studies present it, is this is not a matter of faith, which is what a lot of religious practices, you know, just believe, don't question. The idea instead is question everything, test it in your own experience. Don't accept any spiritual tenet as being true unless it resonates with your own lived reality. And so that to me is what's so interesting in structuring this type of training, is helping people really ask those questions and find out for themselves what our experience as spiritual beings having a human experience is all about.
Yes, indeed. And it is testable, Dorothy, is it not? And that's what's so interesting. And it's quite a bit of what we're doing on this show, is we are presenting ideas and we're saying, well, you know, here's the spiritual concept behind this. Now go out in your life and try it out. Try it on for size. See if it fits. See if you actually get the desired results. And I'd love to say that, isn't that also where science falls into a bit of a trap, when science becomes a world belief and doesn't continue to ask the questions and test and sort of be a non-believer, you know, sort of say, I'm a doubting Thomas. I want to try this again and again and again, repeat it again and see if I can get the same results. It's when we just say, okay, it's been discovered. That's the way it is. That's when we get in trouble, both in the spiritual world and the scientific world.
That's right. That's right. And that's where when the personality, which is our own personal reality, gets caught either in the need to believe in something blindly or just settle for assumptions, that is, in fact, when there are problems. But I'd like to move us to another problem, which I think is really playing out on the world stage writ large. And that is, if you think about the fact that we are all part of the same cosmic energy field, that means whatever we do affects actually everybody else, then separatism, or drawing lines of us versus them, creates a toxic environment. In the Ageless Wisdom, it's called the Great Heresy, to believe that we are not connected, to believe that we are separate from, because then we start thinking we're better than. So that is a dynamic that I think I'd like us to spend a few minutes talking about in terms of how we deal with that particular dynamic in our world.
Yeah, I would love to talk about it. Actually, I think we'll probably end up talking about it a bit at length. And, you know, I have a quote in front of me from the Ageless Wisdom that basically says, there is surely no greater sin than this, talking about separatism, and says that, you know, it is responsible for the entire range of human evil. Now, those are big words. I mean, those you know, sin and evil are big words, but they're there for a purpose. And I find within a lot of the writings of the Ageless Wisdom, when there's a word that really makes you go, wow, well, okay, it's because it's intended to. And you think about it, if I see myself as separate from you, then actually I can be cruel to you, or I can commit a crime against you, Or that's I can find people like me that will be in a group that's different than a group than you, and we can get together and talk about why our ideas are better than your ideas. And so it's not just individual. It can be group against group, class against class, nation against nation. And it's really just, you know, it's that sort of, it leads to exploitation. It leads to destruction. It leads to all the, any war we've ever had on this planet Earth comes on some level from this idea that we're different and separate, and that what I do, if it's in my best interest, I'm not concerned with what it does to you because you're over there.
That's right. That's right. And that's a dualistic perspective. That's one of the dangers of thinking thinking in dualistic terms rather than understanding the interconnection. So I'd like to bring in another concept which runs through many spiritual teachings, and that is the concept of detachment. And detachment is not indifference. It's not denial of what's going on. It's not living, you know, on some mountain peak someplace separated from the rest of existence. What it is being willing to not to think in terms of the good of the whole, to not be attached to a particular outcome. Some people put the word loving in front of it to emphasize loving detachment. So it's not indifferent, but it is saying, it is functioning in a way that allows for connection rather than separateness.
Right. And that's a tricky fine line, right? Because when people think about detaching, they think about separating from, as opposed to realizing one is a part of the greater, right?
That's right. That's right. So if you, and it's very tricky in the political arena, because if you take a position which says I'm right and you're wrong, then how are you ever going to bridge, right? How are you ever going to come together? So the idea of detachment is it's fine to have a different perspective of a different values hierarchy, if you will, a different things that you or concepts or principles that you are putting your energy into. But it's how do you do that? Do you do it in a way that allows for inclusion rather than exclusion? And I'd like to give one specific example, Steve, from what's happening right now in the U.S. political environment.
Let's just go to a quick break and let's come back to that, because there are so many instances of that these days. And I have a feeling once we get started on this, we're going to keep talking. It's such
okay.
a great. So let's continue that after this break.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com. Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Before the break, Dorothy and I were talking about detachment and its role in spiritual development. So, you know, detachment is a tricky subject because it's essential, and it's really a part of so many spiritual traditions. Dorothy, for a second, could I just talk about meditation for a minute and its relationship to detachment?
Sure.
Because so many people, when they hear meditation, they think it means we're checking out. And you were saying that detachment doesn't mean going up on top of a mountain and sort of separating yourself from everyone. It's a different way of looking at detachment. So I find that's the same thing that happens with meditation, where people think, oh, I'm just turning my brain off, when in actuality you are detaching your mind from the small thoughts, from the thoughts that are just doing their thing, your brain bringing thoughts back and forth, and the lower mind. And what you're doing is allowing your mind space so that you can become a part of a greater mental field. So we actually become aware through detachment. And I find that it's similar to what we were talking about in terms of separation and in terms of being personally attached to an ideal, that we can have our idea, but we can't be so attached to it that it actually doesn't serve the greater good, or it creates a situation that's going to harm in some way somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, you've touched on, I think, one of the critical points, which is, you know, being able to remove our own self-interest and come at things from a broader perspective. There's a term that is used by some people, which is to treat for right action. In other words, rather than asking for one specific outcome, asking for what is best, which you or I may or may not be able to see. There may be an outcome that we haven't conceptualized that is actually best. So I've been struck, Steve, as I've been watching how people in the United States are struggling to express ideas in the political arena, to express resistance. And there have been these town hall meetings, and I was watching the one in Utah. And what I was struck by was, if you listened, what people were saying was, do your job, do your job. And I thought, that is fantastic, because the attached way of doing something is to say, you have to vote for this, or you have to vote against it, you know, taking a particular position. Whereas what we really need right now at the within the U.S. government context is for the balance of power to work, for Congress, for the Senate to do what they're supposed to do, which is to fully investigate candidates, to hold the executive branch accountable. And the outcome of that may not be exactly what I or you might want to see, but it will function. The people's interest, the greater good, will be best served if each of the players is in fact playing the role that they're responsible for. So I thought that statement of do your job, was just an excellent example of this dynamic in operation.
And isn't that saying live up to the democratic ideal, meaning democratic in terms of democracy, that you are an elected official, you mm-hmm. represent all of us, and mm-hmm. in our asking you to do your job is to be a representative for all of us, which is what you are supposed to do. And it's mm-hmm. when it becomes a self-interest, either on their side or even on, I hear what you're saying, on the side of a town hall situation, which is, again, mm-hmm. a place we can assemble and we as a group can actually be in discussion with those that we have elected. When if you've ever been to town hall and everybody starts to tell you what they want, you realize it doesn't go anywhere. You know, when it really becomes about, well, this is exactly what I want to happen at some of our town meetings. Wow, it mm-hmm. can really be personality driven. But it's mm-hmm. when we actually start to work together as a group. And I agree with you that do your job is asking someone just to serve the greater good, which they have agreed to do. But that makes me think, Dorothy, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Because what I'm also seeing and it worries me a bit sometimes, is we see, for instance, when Betsy DeVos was going to, she was going for the first time to, I believe it was a kindergarten in Washington, D.C. or a public school. And it was her first appearance, you know, as the Secretary mm-hmm. of Education. And there were protesters outside and they were being pretty extreme and pretty hateful. And they created a line. They blocked her from going into the school. And essentially they corralled her back into her SUV and she drove off. And I thought mm-hmm. to myself, well, now, is that proactive? And we were talking about separatism. And mm-hmm. in a sense, what just happened in that instance created separation. And it made, you know, mm-hmm. when I felt into my soul, I thought, well, you know, I would have liked to have seen her have a chance to go in the school and experience public school. You know, she doesn't have a whole lot of experience with public schools.
Right.
She is trying to go to a public school and she's forced away from it. She needs to be in that environment to get to know it, to learn it, meet the teachers, meet the students. So what do you think about that? I mean, I think we run the risk. We need to watch, you know, we need to watch where our passions lie and think about the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a really interesting example to look at. And I must say, I find this whole arena very challenging. I mean, you know, I've been a social justice activist most of my life, and how to do that in a way that allows for both and solutions rather than standoffs can be very challenging. I happen to agree with you that if you know, think about what the overall goal is, if what you want is for her to be an informed person about what it is, you know, in areas where one might fear that she's not, then maybe what happens is that parents, people who want to protest, go in there and hold a meeting with her and explain their perspectives, explain what their experience is, explain what their concerns are and fears are of parents that, you know, she may not have recognized before. Educate her as the Secretary of Education.
Exactly.
Because what happens, you know, as you said, is when we get this, when we get the standoffs, then it is difficult to come together. Now, does that mean that people shouldn't go and stand on protest lines when things are about to happen that are irrevocable, you know, in terms of environmental damage or that kind of thing? I can't say that that people shouldn't do that. I think
right.
It's absolutely critical to stand up and be counted. But it's the standing up, to me, there's a difference between standing up and saying, you all are horrible, you're terrible, you're bad, you're awful, or I am standing for this principle. I am watching what you are doing. I am witnessing what is happening. You know, there are different kinds of energy that can be brought to the situation. But it's interesting to me that in the Ageless Wisdom teachings, it talks about not being part of a partisan group that then creates separation, but the importance of being engaged, because evil happens when good men do nothing.
Yes. You know, we mentioned talking earlier about the sense of responsibility, that the sense of responsibility is the first and the outstanding characteristic of the soul. That's a quote from the Ageless Wisdom. So we're going to go to a break. And Dorothy, I think when we get back, it'd be great to talk a little bit about what does that mean, responsibility? Because in both of those political instances, there were people felt they had a sense of responsibility, and it's having understanding a sense of responsibility for oneself and the greater good that is so critical in these situations. So let's go to a break and we'll be right back.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SaraLoos.com.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. What a great conversation, Dorothy. I know it's going to come in so handy. Your lifetime of being an activist for social change, I just know this year is going to afford us so many opportunities to talk about ways to be proactive and to elicit change. So I just look so forward. That was so juicy in the last segment, just hearing your take on activism. And I know you've been very passionate about seeing change. So, you know, we're talking about spirituality and the ways that we can develop a more spiritual approach to life. So how do we live as a part of the greater good? And before we went to the break, I read a quote about responsibility. The sense of responsibilities is the first and the outstanding characteristic of the soul. Dorothy, what does that sentence say to you?
Well, I'm gonna take a pause, Steve, just before we get into that. I think it's a really important quote. But I want to remind our listeners that they have the opportunity to email us with questions or comments that they would like us to enlarge on, and we will take those in our next week's show, but we'll take them right along through the year as they come in. So, Steve, if you can give them the email address.
Sure. It's spiritfireradio.com. And if you go to our website, not only can you listen to our past shows, the last two shows, learn all about the seven principles underlying our reality, but you can also, there's a button there that allows you to send us an email. Yeah. Any questions you have about anything we're talking about, you know, we're going to talk about some pretty complex stuff this year. So any questions you have about on this show or past shows, send them to us and we'll be glad to talk.
The actual email address is?
The email address itself is spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com.
Yes. Okay, good. So if people want to, at spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. If you want to look more at the books that I've written related to the seven principles that we're talking about and also harmlessness and moving beyond duality, you can go to enoughforusall.com. That's enoughforusall.com, and you'll also see some other material that is very relevant to the shows that we're looking at. Back to the quote: the sense of responsibility is the first and outstanding characteristic of the soul. That to me, what that means to me, Steve, is that when we think about responsibility or the ability to respond, what we're talking about is a recognition of interconnection, which is what the soul is all about, that we need to live our lives in a way that's not just for us, but is for a larger community, a larger context. And I know we're going to be talking about service probably not this week, but next week. But again, it's all the idea of recognizing ourselves in a larger context and that what we do makes a difference. For example, if I take seriously the science that how I think influences what happens around me, then I need to be very careful about my thoughts, about disciplining my thoughts, about not just polluting the mental environment with every emotion or negative thought that I might have.
Indeed. And it also goes to the emotional body as well, correct? I mean,
yes.
It has to do with all of those levels. So you were talking about us all being a piece of the puzzle. Well, our personality plays a big part of that. And so learning to use our mind in a way that really will support the greater good, it really has to do as well with us really understanding our emotional nature, getting our emotions in line. You know, once the soul resides on the emotional plane. So once we sort of shift to a more mental approach to situations, we find that we are responding to them. It's that ability to respond. Whereas from an emotional place, we can react, you know, we sort of react and we find that we often will create more karma from that.
Yeah. Steve, I think I may have either I misheard you or you may have misspoken. The soul is on the mental plane, not the emotional plane.
Did I say the emotional plane?
I think so. If you did, I just wanted to catch that. But it also may help our listeners to recognize that when we talk about the personality, what we're talking about in this context is an integration of the physical or the etheric, which is the energetic component of the physical body, the emotional body, and the mental body, that we have these three parts of ourselves, and it is their integration that is the first stage of spiritual development.
Indeed, indeed. I've got this just a really great quote that I'd love to read. I think we could wrap it up. And then next week, so we were hoping to talk about service this week, but you know, we always just get into these great conversations and time flies. So next week we're going to talk about service because it's such an integral part of spiritual development to be of service and really talk about it in depth because not everybody really has a really deep understanding of what service is, and it's such a big part of the ageless wisdom. So we'll definitely talk about that on next week's show. But since we've been talking about the soul and we've been talking about ageless wisdom, Gary Zukav is someone who I love. He's an amazing writer, and he wrote The Seat of the Soul. And it's 25 years since he wrote that. And Oprah Winfrey is a huge fan of his. And what's interesting is that book, The Seat of the Soul, is really talks so much about the ageless wisdom. I mean, it is their ageless wisdom and esoteric concepts put into a book that everybody can understand. And Oprah Winfrey wrote the foreword to this book, and she says, "It's no big secret that I have a big personality. I've been using it to my advantage since the third grade." Note to her advantage. "But using that personality to serve my soul and making sure the two were aligned changed the way I did everything. I suddenly recognized all the times I'd gotten off track by letting my personality rule. I started to notice that the degree to which I ever felt unhappiness, discomfort, or despair was in direct proportion to how far I let myself stray from the seat of my soul."
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And it talks a bit about contrast, which we were going to talk about today, too. We'll talk about that on the next show as well, which, you know, contrast, you know, when we're feeling bad and we've strayed and we learn from that, it's how we find our way back to the soul. And it's that process that can be so meaningful to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dorothy, that about wraps it up.
Okay. Well, the time certainly flew by, and I look forward to our next week's conversation.
So tell the listeners again, School for Esoteric Studies, the website for your organization.
Yes, our website is at esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net, School for Esoteric Studies.
And listeners, if you have any questions about what we're talking about, there is so much information on the website. It is really just a wonderful source for going deeper into any of these subjects, as well as sending us an email. So again, our website is spiritfireradio.com. You can send questions to spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. And that's it, Dorothy. It's been a great treat. And we will be back next week. We're here every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific and 12 noon Eastern. It's been great to be with you.
Absolutely.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.